It's good to know. It's good to sing. It's good to speak truth to ourselves and to know that His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. You can agree with me this morning if you want to. His ways are higher than our ways. I want to encourage us in this moment to relax. Yeah? I want to encourage us to relax. We find, I'm going to talk a bit about this actually, but that's a slight coincidence. We are family and friends together this morning, aren't we? We're not professionals. We are not staff. And we're just family and friends together here this morning. So relax. We can relax together. That we're here, we are His children, we are brothers and sisters together. He has connected us by His Spirit, and we're just family and friends together. And it's good to know, isn't it? I'm grateful. And actually, on that point, as some of you know, I was away this week, and grateful for your prayers. And one of the things. I'm always so grateful for, and you've been away somewhere, and you come back, and you come back to family, don't you? You come back to family, you come back to direct family, and also to church family, and just aware of it, and grateful to the Lord that He's put us in families, both kind of small families and bigger families together, and we are a part of one another. And we, our prayer is that that reality, that dynamic of interconnectedness and relationship will just be growing amongst us. It is growing amongst us. We celebrate that and just want that to carry on. It's got to be a good plan, I reckon. And I'm going to talk to us a bit. This is really a bit of an overview, a bit of an introduction, a few thoughts, and I'm just giving them to us. And really, thinking about restoring, that is to say within society, restoring godly families. Godly families. And so we're just going to touch on a whole bunch of stuff and set something up so that we can continue to talk about, think about, speak into godly families. One of the reasons for that is not only because it is so decidedly glorifying to God, but it is also utterly essential for society. It is utterly essential for, this is a bit of a tribute to Andy, because I'm going to use some words, and you might notice they are decidedly Andy words, okay? So this is one of Andy's words, but I'll just give it to us now, okay? Andy talks sometimes. You get to know Andy, so he's my brother and my friend, and I've got to know Andy a bit. He likes this word flourishing. Have you noticed? He likes this word thrive, and we were made to thrive. They're good words, and and it's good to kind of see them, to have a passion for them, and it is true. We started singing this song recently here, didn't we? I was a bit familiar with it because Izzy in her choir sings this song, and there's a line in it and it says, "We were made to thrive." How are you getting on with thriving this morning? I'll tell you, I need some convincing. How are you getting on with thriving this morning? We were made not just to survive, but to thrive. And that is God's intended purpose for our lives this morning, that we wouldn't just survive life, but that He has put things in place for our good and His glory that we might thrive. And thriving, it seems to me, has got to be a good thing. The word thrive or flourish implies vigorous growth. Vigorous growth. I like that. It is active. It is strong. It is, in a sense, insuppressible. Vigorous growth. To thrive. What do you reckon? Do you fancy a bit of vigorous growth? I do.
I do. I'm up for this. Vigorous growth. We can continue to grow vigorously and thrive in the life of God and that which He has for us. If we think of a child that is thriving, they are happy, healthy, and growing well. Amen. A child that is thriving, they are happy, they are healthy, and they are growing well. They are thriving. And it's a good picture. And God has this for us, for our children, for grown-ups, for whoever we are. And where a child or a person thrives, and this is really what we're going to come into, where a child or a person thrives, their thriving is within a context. That is to say, within an environment. We thrive within an environment, don't we? Andy would say this. We put things in place in order that we might thrive or flourish. And it's good. It's true. It's true. And we celebrate it. And God has done that for us. He has intentionally given us a kind of a pattern, a model for lives that flourish within a particular context. So that is to say that lives, people, human beings, they flourish, they thrive when certain conditions are in place, certain things are there in their environment. And we thrive in a certain context. And I'm glad that we do. Yesterday, I was cutting the lawn. And in our garden, don't know about you, but in our garden, we seem to have the perfect environment for dandelions. So when it comes to cutting the lawn, what I'm finding is that the conditions, the moisture, the sunlight, it's causing vigorous growth in our garden of dandelions. They're not required, they're not wanted, but there's something going on in our garden where something, the context, the environment, is just great for dandelions. So they're springing up all over the place. So I'm getting the lawnmower out, and the dandelions are going. But here's the thing. They're not welcome, but let me tell you, they are certainly thriving. Why? Because the conditions, they're just right. They're just right. And God has held up for us in the Bible conditions or environment for our lives, context for our lives, within which we as people thrive. We will grow vigorously. And I like that. From the beginning, God has provided the context or the environment for human flourishing. And here's the thing, and this is all I want to do really this morning, is home in on this point. It's called family. The context for human flourishing is family life. Now that means all sorts of things, so we'll get into some of that. But the context for flourishing life is family life. And it's wonderful to me, and I'm enjoying it. Let me read. Biblical, godly family is the intended environment within which people grow or they thrive. And you might want to just kind of like have a little look around at society, at the world that we currently live in, and are a part of, and I would suggest to us, there isn't much thriving going on. And this is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons, because people thrive within the context of godly family life. So I'm going to read, this is Genesis 1, so we're going to kind of take a little step further back. And Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to jump in and read a few verses from verse 26. And it says, God said, let us make man in our image. Corporate. God said, let us make man in our image. Our image. Speaking of himself as our image. According to our likeness. and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. It's wonderful. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning. And that was the sixth day. And it's wonderful in this passage of scripture. We're not going to stay here long. But in this passage of scripture, from the beginning, God knew that it was not good for man to be alone, but needed relationship and identity within the context of a community. Relationship and identity within the context of community. He was in family. God put man in family. And in many ways, we can look at it and see that God models this for us. We see the collective unity in the Godhead. I'm just going to read down a few more verses in Genesis chapter 2. And it says this, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And this is the thing. A man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one. So this is a beginning place. This is why we're doing this. This is a beginning place. A man leaves his father and his mother, and he's joined to his wife, and the two, they become one. Wonderful. And marriage. Marriage, right there, right in the beginning, marriage. A man leaves his father and his mother, and he's joined to his wife, and they become one. Marriage, that's marriage. And here we have marriage, the beginning. Here it is. And this is wonderful to me. Let me just draw out this little bit. One man, one woman, becoming one. That's interesting math. One plus one equals... Thank you, Peter. Peter got the right answer. One. One plus one equals one. And it is a mystery, but it is wonderful that God takes a man and takes a woman and he joins them together. There is both a physical and a spiritual union, one man, one woman, and they become one. And it's wonderful. God does this. God does this, joins them together, and they become one flesh. Perfect environment, this interesting addition, is the perfect environment for multiplication. God says, be fruitful and multiply. So, one plus one equals one. From there, we go on to multiplication. Sorry if this is a bit silly. But it's remarkable the way that God has set up union. In himself, he models union. In relationship, in marriage, he models union. He holds up marriage as an example of himself and his bride, the church, union. There is union. In the beginning, there is an intimacy of relationship. And God begins to build in this way. It is relational. It is intentionally so. And family was in the heart of God from the beginning. And this is my simple point. Family was in the heart of God from the beginning and is his proven environment or context for healthy growth and development. Aren't you grateful that God has given to us a pattern, a model, an example for living well within which we will flourish? Families, people, human beings flourish within a context and an environment, and so much of the kind of building blocks of future life begins in this beginning place of family together. In Genesis chapter 7, we're just going to jump through a couple of things here, but in Genesis chapter 7, when God was sending a flood on the earth and there he was going to do a new thing, he gathered up what? A family. A family. He gathered up a family with a righteous father and he saved them. And then, if I can put it like this, he kind of began again with a family. He began in the beginning. We think about Adam and Eve. We think about what God did there in that beginning. He began with a family. And he's continuing in this way. He began with a family. He continued to do it. I think we see this in the picture, the story of the flood and of Noah. Genesis chapter 7, family. God is drawing out this truth, this reality. He is working in this way, through family. And again, this is modeled in all sorts of different ways. We see it in different ways, both in nuclear family, in church family, in broader church family. The concept, and this is my simple point, the concept is one of family. Family. And we see this all the way through the Bible. We see it into the New Testament in different ways. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, let's read this. So this is Abraham, and this is just taking, again, a different life, a different history. But God, there is a distinctive here. There is something that God is doing and building. And God takes this man, Abraham. He takes Abraham, and he takes him outside. And he says, look at the stars. Look at the stars. And again, God is building a people for his purpose. And he takes this man Abraham, he says, look at the stars. And obviously the sky is full of stars. And he said, I will make you a father of multitudes. Of multitudes. Father, family. Family. And God is building in this way. And we see it in Adam and Eve, as I said, we see it in Abraham, we see it all the way through on the Bible. And whether it was Adam and Eve, whether it was Noah and his wife, whether it was Abraham and Sarah, God has always been working through family to bring glory to his name, and this continues today. This continues today. Really, I want to hold this up on purpose, families. Family life, what God is and can do through your family, through my family, through church family, what he can do, what he models, and the impact, the change that it can have on our community and on society. Family is in the heart of God. Family is in the heart of God, and he puts family into our hearts. God uses marriage to display something of the mystery of himself with his church. He uses family for the safety and nurturing of children, whether born to us or adopted by us. God, where does he put children? Those who need care, those who need safety and security and nourishing. What was his plan from the beginning? These precious ones. What is the context, the environment for their health and growth? Godly, biblical, family life. Amen. Amen. Godly, biblical, family life. It is his chosen purpose and intention for every human being that he could take a life, a soul, that which is precious in the sight of God. And he has intended the place of their setting for their growth and nurturing and development. And what does he come up with? One man, one woman, becoming one flesh together. And he gives in that relationship of love and cooperation the environment for children, for lives to be nurtured and sustained and to grow effectively. Family life. It is a model. It speaks of all sorts of things. It speaks of himself. It speaks of his church. It provides the right context for appropriate growth. Family life. We could get a vision for this. It doesn't matter if in this moment you're married, whether you're unmarried, whether you're in that kind of a family, whether you're in a different kind of a family. It doesn't matter. The principles of godly family life remain the same. And they remain effective and purposeful in the outworking of our lives, whatever our particular context happens to be. Godly principles for godly family life and cooperation and community and unity and togetherness. Are we hearing this morning? This changes the world. Really. This isn't a nice idea only, although it is. It's beautiful, both to us and to him. It is beautiful. But this is not just theory. This is where the rubber hits the road and Christianity impacts society. It happens in all kinds of ways, but it happens in this way. Family life. It is strong. It was intended to be. And my prayer is that increasingly I and we together will have a vision for godly biblical family life, relationships, interactions, connectedness. And we can see all the way through scripture guiding practice and principles that change society. And we see that when those guiding practices and principles that are given to us in scripture are not adhered to, they are not stuck to, it impacts society negatively. And we go in the other direction. Until God, in his mercy and his goodness, he calls us back to himself and to biblical godly principles and practices for the outworking of wisdom in our lives. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm thinking it's wonderful. And I am grateful. I'm grateful to God that he has chosen in all of the possibilities of the ways that God could have chosen to work, that he has chosen to work in this way. This is so accessible, it is so delightful, it is so nourishing to human life. And I'm so grateful to him that he has chosen to work in this way. He uses family, we find this, I think this is in Leviticus, he uses family for the care and sanctuary of strangers and refugees. And it says God places them. Where? Where does he place these people who are in need and possibly lonely and detached in families, family life? Families. God places the strangers in families. As we take this thought further, we see that a Christian, as Christians, we not only come into a right relationship with God through his Son and by his Spirit, but he adopts us and makes us sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. Yes. Sons. Sons of the Most High God. Sons and daughters. And that identity with him gives us identity as brothers and sisters together. Not church-going professionals. We are definitely not that. But we are in right relationship to him as a son, as a daughter. We are therefore connected in this way as brothers and sisters. Wonderful. God is building family. His family. Oh, to be the privilege it is to be a part together of his family. And he's gathering a people called by his name to himself. And they're his family, God's family, his church. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And let me read this. This is from Romans and chapter 8. And let me just read this because it just helps us, I think, in our thinking and our identifying with this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you, and this is just an extension of that point I'm just making, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Daddy. Really? Really? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And that can mean, depending on our background, depending on our history, that can mean different things to different people. But God, he teaches us that he is a good, good father. His loving kindness, it endures forever. Forever. He is a good, good father. And when we, through his son, come into right relationship with him, he puts it like this, he sheds his spirit abroad in our hearts. And there is something, therefore, that it cries out to God. There is this identification. There is an identification which rises in me, and I'm aware by his spirit, I am a son of God. I know that I know that I know that I am his child. Not just because I've been taught it, not just because I see the theology of it, but because something by God's Spirit resonates in me, responds to him, and there is a confession of a life. You know, there are so many professing Christians. In this way, he calls us to be confessing Christians. There is a confession of a life, and the confession of the life is, Father, Father, Father. It's a truth, a reality that I have come into, and by his Spirit there is an answer, there is a response, there is a confession of my life. And it comes out in this way, Father, Daddy. Father, for some of us, Father can seem a bit austere, a bit distant, can't it? I think it can. And but there is this. In the heart of God, there is this rising response, and it is a liberating thing where something in me is moved to something in him, and there's this recognition of family relationship. Daddy. Daddy. God. We can talk about the Father in all sorts of different ways, but this is appropriate. This is okay. I can know him, speak of him in this close, personal, intimate way, and he becomes my daddy. He becomes my daddy. What a daddy. Amazing. Amazing. Family. Family. God has gathered us in to himself. Family. And he's our father, and we are in love relationship with him, and therefore, we are in love relationship with one another, with brothers and sisters. The church is not to be a cold organization, but a relational family where we genuinely love and care for one another. I don't know how well I'm doing at this, honestly, but it's my heart to grow in this way, and for us collectively to grow in this way, where we know one another personally, relationally, where one weeps, we all weep. Where one rejoices, we all rejoice. There is a collective family connection and relationship, and we all rejoice together in the knowledge of it in our lives. And I mean, we see this again, all the way through the Bible, all the way through the New Testament. I mean, what is it that caused the New Testament church to share what they had together? And count nothing their own, but they shared together. Why? 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 Family. They became family in God. And it's wonderful. And it was his intended purpose. Our country, and this is where we're going with this, our country. When you think of our country, our nation, our cities, what do you think it needs? It needs Jesus, we know that. But what do you think it needs? What changes society? And this is just such an obvious point, but it's worth making. Our country is in great need of the restoration of godly families who simply, through their lives, tell a better story, live a different life, and value godly wisdom. His ways, this is where we started, his ways, they are higher than our ways. They are higher than our ways. Sometimes we don't always completely understand his ways, but we know his ways are higher than our ways, and therefore I want to increasingly come into a greater understanding of his ways. His ways, they are greater than our ways. And I believe that our nation is in great need of the restoration of godly families who through their lives, through their living, tell a better story. They model something different. And this in and of itself inspires hope. Hope in people. We know that in our nation, divorce and family breakdown is everywhere. And often, it does not seem any different in the church or outside of it. The further we move away from godly marriages and families, the further disintegration of society occurs. This is an observable sociological fact. If you want to research it, this is an observable sociological fact. The breakdown of family life and the disintegration of society life, depression, anxiety, self-harm, obesity, teenage pregnancy, crime, violence, loneliness, identity confusion are all on the increase amongst a whole host of other heartbreaking problems. And there is a direct correlation in these things between the breakdown in strong family biblical living. There really is. And it's important, I think, that we highlight these things. Statistically, children who grow up in a stable family unit with a married father and mother have less mental health issues and live a healthier, happier life than those who don't. It's just a sociological fact. And it's like God has given to us, in his word, wisdom. Wisdom to live by. And that wisdom, as we live by it, it not only impacts us, it impacts our families, it impacts our societies. It makes a difference, is my point. It makes a difference. And it's wonderful. You know, I'm going to highlight some things. I'm doing this on purpose. It's not easy listening, but it's contrast. Sometimes contrast is helpful, because it helps us to run in a direction. To run in a direction. So I'm thinking and having a heart for the society within which we currently live. And it's good to be aware of it. Society within which we currently live. And again, this isn't empty facts. This is like the people of God care about the society that they live in, and want him to extend his kingdom amongst the people, the communities, the places where we live. You know, every year in England alone, there's about 180,000 abortions in our country. That's staggering. What's an answer to that? Godly, biblical, family life.
Men are so often absent from the family unit and abdicate responsibility at an alarming rate in our society, in our culture, in those that we know. That distinctive is prevalent in our country.
This is our society.
Where men are present, domestic violence is epidemic in our country. We don't talk about these things very often. There's probably good reason. But it's true. It's true. This is the world that we live in. We need, I believe, a revival of family, of lifelong marriage, and an eternally high value on children. We need to look again at the Bible and the wisdom it holds. We need to understand the sanctity of life. We need to be committed to lifelong covenant relationships. We need to see God makes both male and female. We need to understand love and authority, respect and submission, obedience and honor. We need to give words biblical meaning and live lives which tell a better story. And live lives that tell a better story. And God has called us to this. It's a high calling. Being a husband, being a wife, being a parent, being in any way a part of an extended family unit. Whatever that means. It is a high calling. And the impact of it is enormous. It was always so, and God has worked in this way. We need to give words biblical meaning and live lives which tell a better story. It is only as we return to biblical understandings of men, women, children, marriage, parenting and love that we will tell a better story and bring hope to a world imploding all around us. I'm doing this on purpose because the contrast is enormous, but the kind of corresponding impact of the positive of God changes, transforms lives. Changes and transforms lives. I'm not going to do this right now, but could tell you stories and testimony of lives transformed through, if I can put it like this, the simple application of the wisdom of God in family life. And he's transformed people, transformed, utterly changed from one trajectory of life to a completely different trajectory of life. And what is it that has been that turning point? The application of biblical, godly, family life. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. And as you kind of extrapolate this out, the impact, to put it weakly, is significant. It is significant and it's wonderful. And I thank God for his calling on our lives to live in this way. You know, yesterday I played a word association game with the kids, and I'm not going to give you all their answers, but I asked them to tell me what they think of when they use the word family, word association. So if you're in that kind of a family and you fancy giving it a try, ask your kids what they come up with. It's a good thing. And it's wonderful. God has put us in family. Now, here's the thing. There are no, you will have noticed this, but I'm holding it up because we can look at all of these things, and then we kind of need to take a step back, have a bit of a deep breath, and kind of think, oh. And it's simply this. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect families,
But, and this is all I'm trying to do this morning, but we can all take our model of living from the Bible. Look to provide an environment in which to thrive and harvest the great blessing that there is there from God in this simple, applicable, real life way. Godly, biblical, family life. And as we grow, as we build in this way, both as little families and as bigger church families, and then what that does is it gives access and opens up possibility for others who have never experienced godly biblical family life to become a part of that extended family. And that in turn brings change which impacts them for generations. This is like a long-term view. It's a long-term view. Things can change generationally. When what happens in a life is that by God's grace and mercy, he comes in some way or another, and he impacts a life. And he impacts a life through implementing change of thinking, change of heart, and change, if I can put it like this, lifestyle, an approach, a change of value systems. We start valuing different things more highly. So the world in which we live, it has a value system. And it values certain things really highly. Fairly high up on the top of the list is going to be money. So as a world value system within our UK culture, we value money really highly. You know, it is helpful to have money to get by. We know that. But we value money so disproportionately highly that impacts the decisions that we make in our families. In our families, you can think that through. But it matters what we value. And all I'm wanting to do here this morning is just hold this up. Family. And there's lots of things that we are going to look at different times that are biblical, godly, family values. And they are precious to him. They are life-changing for us. And they give him glory. But they provide an environment of flourishing and of nourishment and of healthy vitality for human beings. And our country, our culture is in desperate need of this being modeled in front of their faces. Telling a better story where we value different things. We value children above finance. What do you reckon? That's a big one. We value children above finance. If that is a true value in our hearts and lives, that will directly impact what you do with your life and your time. Directly. This is the point. This is the point. He changes our minds. He changes our value systems in line with his own. And in that place is great blessing. Great blessing. We might have less money and richer lives. What do you think? It's good. It's good. Flourishing. Flourishing. Do you know? I know we need money, so please don't get the wrong impression. But do you know that money doesn't provide richness of life? It doesn't. Money doesn't provide richness of life. I wasn't really going to talk about this, but it's important. Why? Because God changes our value system. He changes our mind. And then that directly impacts how we go about priorities in our family life. It's supposed to be that way. It is challenging. It is supposed to be. And it is a great blessing. It is a great blessing. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's grow. Let's grow together as family. Let's grow as little families within that bigger family that are increasingly implementing godly biblical practices and principles in our real everyday lives. What do you reckon? What do you reckon, really? This changes church life, but it changes society life in time. Do you know, I've been in families in my life, witnessed families, godly families in my life, and just by watching, it's changed my mind. Honestly, I have witnessed godly family lives, and I thank God for this, these things that have been modeled to me in my life at different times. And I've seen godly biblical family life, and it has changed my mind, my outlook, and therefore my own approach to life. Modeling stuff matters. And it inspires hope for change. It inspires hope for change. If we believe, as we do, that by implication, coming from the Lord Jesus, that the church is the hope of the world. We do believe that. The gospel is the hope of the world. God communicates his gospel through his speaking church in all sorts of different ways. And one of those ways is this, that we have the opportunity, as we get into this, to increasingly model biblical, godly, family life. And that, my friends, that is a place of richness and of health and vitality and of purpose and identity. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Where's Peter? We're going to sing, Pete. And just respond to the Lord in our hearts. These things that God does in us and for us, they are part of him bringing us into an increasingly liberated place in our hearts and our response to him. Amen.